Down to Business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.
Now let's do Motoring Mailbag, because it's that time of the month where Geraldine Herbert joins me to look under the bonnet and talk all things motoring. How are you, Geraldine?
Good morning, Bobby.
Great. Let's start with learner drivers. Now, we've known this for years, Geraldine, that learner drivers shouldn't drive unaccompanied. Unfortunately, they do. But is the government now trying to do something about this to actually make it is illegal, but actually, are we talking enforcement here?
Yeah, I mean, since 2014, new measures came in, and you had the L plates, you were going to get penalty points for not displaying your L plate, and there was N plates. Now, this is a further move to sort of limit the number of unaccompanied drivers. So basically what happens now, if car owners knowingly permit a learner driver to drive unaccompanied, they would be legally responsible. And they could be, the penalties could be imposed from like €2,000 to 6 months in prison. I would doubt that would happen. And the car could actually be impounded as well. So really it's to make, you know, fully registered drivers, whatever, are responsible for learner drivers, not to give them the car, because they're being facilitated by somebody, obviously.
So if I'm a parent and my daughter's on a provisional license and she's insured in my car and I let her off unaccompanied,
knowingly,
the responsibility is now mine.
Yeah.
Where are we on the insurance issue there, Geraldine? Because I've heard mixed messages. I remember checking a couple of daughters back. I remember checking quietly with the insurance company to see were they insured as unaccompanied drivers. And I was told categorically, yes, they are, but don't tell your daughter.
Well, some are and some aren't, in the sense that some insurance companies came out last year and said you are not insured if you drive unaccompanied.
So that has to be the big overrider here.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby, the advice would be is to check the small print and phone them. You know, or ask them, but check the small print, because in a lot of cases they have come out and said, no, it actually isn't the case. See, the problem in Ireland is for a very long time, the waiting lists were extraordinarily long for a driving test. So we had this Irish solution to an Irish problem, and we had a blasé attitude to learner drivers driving unaccompanied. Over the last few years, that's not the case. The longest you will wait for a test now is 27 weeks. The average is about 15. So let's be honest, you're not going to be waiting that long. So as a result, there is less tolerance of this. The other fact of the matter is you're 8 times more likely to be involved in a fatal collision as an unaccompanied learner driver than an experienced motorist.
That's a horrific statistic.
It's absolutely awful. There's another horrible one. In 42 fatal collisions were involving unaccompanied drivers between 2012 and 2016. So this is not an issue to be taken lightly. It's not a case of, oh, I didn't get my test and I had to do it. You know, there's ways around these things. You can get your test. You can, you know.
You're right as well about a kind of Irish attitude to Irish problem, that it's kind of a blind eye stuff. And there's this sort of unofficial thing that it's kind of okay.
But that was the case when you had to wait 2 and 3 years for a test, and you could see where that arose from. But that is not the case anymore. So, I mean, whether this will be effective, I don't know, but it'll certainly make car owners think twice about giving learner drivers.
You know, let's say anything that reduces road debts has got to be welcomed. So,
absolutely,
we got to endorse that. Talk to me about e-call technology. All new cars sold in Ireland from next April will be able to call the emergency services. Is this again like a GPS that's fitted in your car? And
what's interesting about this technology? It's been around since 2012, but actually it was blocked because of privacy issues and privacy concerns about whether or not you'd be tracked when you're on the road. So now it's finally
Big Brother stuff.
Exactly. So finally, 6 years later, I think it's the 31st of March, technically 2018, it's coming. And it means that if you're in a collision and you're not fit to actually make a call, you're unconscious or whatever, the car will actually detect that the airbag has gone off. It will contact dial 112, the emergency number, and send out somebody to you. So it means it'll cut response times by about 60% and invariably save lives. The only problem is it'll only be in new cars. So it'll still be very small percentage of cars on the road that have it. However, having said that, a lot of car companies like Ford have a sync system that's very similar. Opel have the Opel OnStar. So a lot of the car companies actually have it at the moment, but it will be mandatory for them to put it into all new cars.
And what were the concerns around privacy around this?
Well, what they've narrowed it down is that the information of where you are and the whole lot.
If I'm a sales rep and my boss can kind of, I see he's in Tramore when he should be in
Cork City. The information will only be sent in the event of an accident. What people were concerned about was that this information could be sent at any time. But it seems ridiculous that it delayed it by 6 years. But anyway.
Right, okay. There you go, technology. And what about electric cars in the budget for 2018?
Okay, they announced a range of packages and 10 million was given towards the electric cars, but they didn't really specify it. An interesting one that they've clarified now, though, is if you buy a brand new electric car, you get a charge point put in by the ESB for free, but only if you bought a new one. Now, of the 1,000 electric cars that have been sold this year, about 400 of them have been imports. So those people were forced to actually pay for a charge of themselves. Now there'll be a grant towards that. So that will actually
That's
be...
That's good. Yeah. OK, we've loads of texts in, and keep them coming, 53106. There's one here about car hire in the UK.
Oh, right. Yeah, this was somebody asking a question about hidden charges. One thing to be careful about in the UK is a lot of the UK car companies will take a debit card online if you pay up front for your car. But when you go to collect it, you need a credit card. A lot of people get caught out with that. So if you don't have a credit card and you've paid by debit card, it doesn't mean that they'll accept it. You're still going to be in trouble when you go to collect the car.
I see.
This caused a lot of problems. The other thing is, obviously, look for the excess on the policy, which means how much you'll have to pay in the event of an accident. If it's very high, the chances are the amount you pay will be low, but you need to look at that. And also, don't bring a sat-nav, just use your phone. If you've kids, a lot of times if they're kind of over the age of about 3 or 4, you can just bring on the plane their car seats, little small travel seats, which are perfect. The other thing as well is if you're not fussy about collecting it from the airport, you can usually reduce quite a lot if you collect it in the city centre.
Yeah, there's a premium for the airport.
For the location, yeah.
Because they're probably paying high rents there in relation to the airport authority.
And one other thing is the fueling policy. If you can, always return the car full rather than empty, because you'll never return an empty car. It's almost impossible. Whereas full to full is a much better policy.
All right, that's good advice. We've got one here coming in on car sickness. An 8-year-old girl, I think it is.
Car sickness is a tricky one. Apparently,
anything that can be done to help it?
Yeah, the problem apparently is the conflicting messages that are going from your ears to your eyes and your brain. So if you can put a child in a middle seat on a back row, that they can actually just focus on the road ahead, that apparently helps, because the brain has been told that they're moving in the right direction. The other thing are travel bands that you can buy in Boots. There's conflicting reports as to whether or not they work, but sometimes just psychologically giving a child something on their arm that is supposed to help will help.
Yeah, my youngest daughter used to get sick in the car. She still does occasionally. But I remember, you know, things that, you know, if they start doing things like going online or playing with phones or that, again, it can be, the sensation can make them sick.
Yeah, and yet at the same time, you kind of think if I distract them, it'll help. But no, you're better off if you're going to do distraction, maybe, you know, sing along in the car or do something like that. Again, a ginger biscuit sometimes help as well, and regularly stopping helps. But you're driving as well. Drive calmly, you know, no tearing around the place. That only makes things worse.
All right. OK, well, it's a pleasure to talk to you as always, Geraldine Herbert. Thanks for coming in to us.
Thanks,
for
Bobby.
A great review of the motoring world. We love this slot every month.
Down to business on Newstalk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.